Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he gathers. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I am a Hebrew, born in Arkansas.
I am a Hebrew. I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew. I was born in Indiana.
I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea, nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew from West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Lane.
We are Hebrew.
Hello, my sister.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straight Way Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast, as well as the truth, coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell Jr. That's Charles Dowell Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G-T-O-N. P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, and Lafayette is spelled LAFAYETTE 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives, so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ, just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
King Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Glad to have each and every last one of you here tonight. Hey, check this out. Since we had technical difficulties yesterday, what I'm going to do is make a few announcements right here, and then we're going to go ahead with tonight with Sisters to Sisters broadcast. Hallelujah. So they are more likely not going to be taking your phone calls because I wouldn't dare wish that on them. Hallelujah. So if you want to listen, you can listen in. Got a few announcements. On the 28th, I believe it is a March, Brother Gideon, head instructor, along with Cross and Brother Toby and myself, I don't know, I'm probably going to divest myself of it again as usual, but going to be doing some training, some firearms training, handgun acquisition, weapons disarmament, teach people how to get out of holds, reverse, choke holds, how to knock someone out, how to submit, you know, stuff like that. We're probably going to split up in a few groups. I just wanted to go ahead and tell you that. But Brother Gideon is going to be doing that. Brother Gideon, I'm going to call you probably this weekend, too. Got a couple of questions to ask you. What we got going on? So don't forget Passover is coming up. Hallelujah. Also, I've got a newsletter, the Star of David. It's already up. Brother Stephen Winder posted it. Then I have another newsletter up on One Wife Today. They just posted my recent newsletter on the pronunciation of the name. You're going to be surprised when you go back into all this and when you realize that the English and how languages evolved, and then a nonsensical argument of people just literally getting in the fight over how you twist your tongue to say the name as if that's going to bring them some kind of power or something. So anyway, we got this spell. We just spell a lot. They check this out right here, Sister Ashley. Here it is. They call the Lord's Prayer in English 1,000 years ago. This is English. In 995, okay, A.D. And then, in other words, 1,000 years ago, okay? This is the way English used to be spoken, and this is the way it is today. See the contrast? So when I tell you that the language or the English that we speak in today, they wouldn't be able to understand us 1,000 years ago or 500 years ago. We wouldn't even be able to understand them. The same way that we wouldn't understand the Paleo Hebrew, we wouldn't understand any of the languages, because languages evolve. And this newsletter is a good example of that, a prime example of that, to show you that, all right? So the Sisters broadcast is going to go forth here tonight. Did you bring, we'll tell you what, we'll click Sister Jennifer in there. Well, I'll let you click her in, all right?
Yes, sir.
But anyway, this newsletter is pretty power-packed. And not only that, I know it had to be Stephen Winder, because I put a whole bunch of names in the newsletter. And you know them, they're going to go beyond the call of duty. Here is the name of Jesus, or Yeshua, in all the different languages on the earth and how it's written and pronounced. So you see the reason why people anyway, you got to go there. So you go look on the website. This newsletter is up there. It's going to be edifying. It's very educational. I've been making the newsletters a little bit short, if you know what I mean. Also, we got our own version of Jesus, Yahshua, the page. And there, and all this is stuff, you know, I've been working on lately. Then I actually go over the different way or the scripts that it was written in and give you a detailed explanation over each one of them. So, you know, it's really nonsensical. It really is. It's a bad situation that we find ourselves in today, that people want to be contentious over just about anything in the world today. It just don't make any sense to me. But, hey, who am I? Who am I? By the way, if you're planning on coming to Passover, you need to call in. You need to call in, get your name on the list. If you have been trying to contact myself or Elder Doug and you have not heard from us, what you need to do is keep trying. Call back to Dine Hall. Say this is my third, fourth attempt, or whatever attempt you want to call it. But you need to do that, because, again, there's a lot of you and there's a few of us. I have sent out another load of letters to answer those of you who have been sending offerings and letters of support by way of mail. And I really do appreciate it. Thank you, each and every last one of you, for your offers and your letters of support. They truly, truly do help the community and its functions, the function of the ministry, first and foremost, more than anything. And we thank the Father for that. We always have a lot going on here. We have already done ordered chickens, and we are raising chickens to get them ready to get butchered, hopefully before Passover comes in, so we can fill up our refrigerators. It's going to be a quite lengthy feast. It's almost going to be like a mini Feast of Tabernacles with so many people coming in a little bit early. So we're going to get ourselves together there. Remember to keep Mother Bullock in prayer. Dad Dow, he definitely needs your prayers. Dad Dow's gotten to the point now that he can't walk on his own. He can't feed himself. He can't do any of that nowadays. And he needs 100% help from the saints in just about everything that he does. And also, make sure you come see me tomorrow, Sister Victoria. I want to talk to you about something. You got any more announcements I'm missing? You think All right. Now, the sisters, they had the broadcast yesterday, and because, again, there was some technical difficulties, so we're going to carry on the sisters broadcast tonight. I'll be back to answer your phone calls next Shabbat. I hope you all are setting your affairs in order right now. You're getting yourself together and getting prepared for the feast. If you want information in reference to the feast, how we go about doing it, go back and look at some of the older videos that we posted up that will give you all of the information in the world that you need. I know that the caller queue is full, yeah. I haven't had a chance. I'm going to try to get off to Brother Freddie this week. I guess I'm going to try to do it by way of Skype. I asked Brother Reynolds to contact a man that I was supposed to speak to today, but just couldn't do it. Duty calls. Well, there's a host of boatload of people inside this caller queue right here. All right. But anyway, if you still want to assist and help Brother Freddie get over here or send your offering, your letter of support, type in a F or write a F in on the envelope at the P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee 37083. And just put Charles Dow. You don't have to put pastor on it or none of that, because all that does is call these wicked pagan Gentiles to vandalize our property and everything else, and it's just ridiculous. I've also sent a lot of return to sender mail this week. It's kind of crazy, but it is what it is. I know a lot of people don't realize it, but a lot of times if I see offerings, certain offerings coming from certain people, I just turn around and send it right on back. Simply because you got to understand, you got to have a righteous spirit. We're just not just allowing any old body to participate with us. We're serious-minded people, and we don't need to drama. We're going on to perfection. We're very serious about this. All right. Without further ado, here's Sister Ashley, host of Sister to Sister Radio Broadcast. These chairs sit really low. I got another chair down there. I'm going to bring it up later on. Okay. All right. Bless Sister Ashley.
Bless you, sir. Thank you. Hallelujah. Shalom. I have got to get used to the camera. You know I'm used to looking down. So I'm Sister Ashley, the host of tonight's show, and it is a privilege, a very high privilege, to be before you all tonight. Sister Jennifer's in Georgia. I'm bringing you up now, Jennifer. And I know I want to apologize to anyone who is disappointed, who wanted to hear Pastor. I want to hear Pastor. So I too was surprised, but even still, I hope that you will endure us, endure Jennifer and I, as we speak to the daughters of Zion, hallelujah, and hopefully edify anyone who is listening to us tonight. So, Sister Jennifer in Georgia, can we get a sound check? And I guess I'll just expect anyone who is in the tabernacle to give me any sound checks. If I got to go higher, I know Pastor talks loud. I talk loud. So I hope you can hear me. Jennifer, let's hear from you.
Shabbat Shalom, Israel. Blessings to you all, daughters of Zion. This is Sister Jennifer, and it's such an honor to be here with you all tonight on this holy Shabbat. I pray that I'm coming in clear, and I pray that you can hear me. Sister Ashley, it's a pleasure just to be able to see your face. It really
wow.
is. What an awesome opportunity.
Oh, thank you. I was not intimidated by the camera. Can you believe it? I do enough videos, I think, on our Help Me channel. But thanks again to the legendary and honorable Pastor Dow for the privilege to sit in his seat. Hallelujah. So after last night's difficulties resulting in a canceled show, we will share what would have been last night with anyone and everyone who's listening tonight in hopes that all of you will be edified. Let's first always acknowledge our Abba Yahweh, who has allowed us the privilege to know one another, to see one another, to meet one another, to Skype one another, and just the mercy to repent. Acknowledge him for the mercy to repent. I bless his holy name, and I thank each and every one of you who are serving him with zeal and fervency and meeting all his requirements. I do want to send a greeting and a special honorable shout-out and thank you and acknowledgement to all of our elders, Elder Becker, Elder Rufus, Elder Mitchell, Elder Austin, Elder Donnie. Thank you for all you do. Thank you to all of your wives who submit to you, who serve you, and support you, hopefully making things easier for you. Thank you for all you do in support to the ministry and support to pastor. 1,000 thank yous to Yahweh for our pastor, who keeps this ministry going and doesn't stop serving, working, praying, counseling, running, traveling, and we got new newsletters coming up. It's like, how does he do all this? Mother Beasley, in her 90s, she'll call every fourth day. She'll call the saints on the land, and she'll always say, tell pastor to get some rest. Tell pastor to get some sleep. And she just wanted everybody to know she was thinking of us. So a special greetings to her as well. But thank you for the gift in the body, Pastor Corey, and those who support him wholeheartedly, and his wife, Sister Gabby. Thank you, Father, for the Kansas City Saints. Lastly, and humbly, I honor and greet our worthy deacon, who is my covering. He is my teacher. He is my example of the Father in his home. He truly covers me. He protects me. He provides, and he leads me. Without allowing any of y'all's order to be disrupted in our home, in his home. So let's hear from you, Sister Jennifer. What's on your heart?
Hallelujah. I just want to acknowledge the Most High for his continual love for us, you know, through his correction and his long-suffering that he constantly shows us, and for giving us access to everything that we need to change so that we can serve him with a pure heart. I want to acknowledge the elder over Georgia, Elder Rufus, for ruling well and for living a righteous and transparent life without any hypocrisy whatsoever. And it's such an honor for me to sit under his wisdom and to learn as his wife. Finally, I want to acknowledge our shepherd, Pastor Dow, for his continual labor for the people of Yah and for giving the women in this ministry a safe place where we can be delivered from the wickedness that we've walked in for so long before coming to the faith. And, you know, I just want to say that the men who are in authority in this ministry, they have never abused their position because of the fear that they walk in. And it is so appreciated. You don't hear that from these other ministries. And I'm just so thankful to be covered by a righteous ministry. And I also want to acknowledge those who are scattered abroad, who are faithful to this ministry. I want to just send a special thank you for your support, for your faithfulness. It really means a lot, and we just don't take that lightly. And that's all I have, Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. I'm glad you even said the men on our show, because typically men wouldn't hear us, and maybe tonight there would be a brother that could hear my special thank you to all the brothers that are on this land. You may hear Brother Scott's name and Brother Brett's name, but, you know, there's Victor and JC and Elias and Gabriel and Ariel. I could go on and on, but special thank you to them because they keep up the lights and the plumbing, the maintenance, the mechanics, the buildings, the labor for us sisters. We truly have no worries because of how we assemble together and how we live together. I want to proceed forward, so I want to ask you a question, Sister Jennifer, because we are a people set apart, and we have direct personal relationships with the Father. So I have a personal private relationship with the Father. You do, out there listening. But we also have a whole, as a whole, we are the body of the Messiah, and we have a relationship as the body. But let's go to this thought. What is being intimate with Yah? What does it actually mean? If I'm new, I'm listening, I don't understand. What does being intimate with Yahweh really mean?
For me, being intimate with Yahweh is obtaining such a closeness with Yah that nothing is able to come between you and him. You know, nothing separates you or brings division in your relationship with him. And it's knowing that every need, every desire that you have is only met or fulfilled in him. And it really is a feeling of total contentment. You know, once you have it, you fight so hard to keep that intimacy because you feel so complete because of the intimacy that you have with him. And it's It's really where you will allow him to see into you with no shame, no guilt. You know, nothing will separate you. He will see into you, and you will fight to maintain that, because that is where your completeness comes from.
Very good. And as representatives of Pastor and of this ministry, we represent all truth spoken by Pastor Dow, all truth. And specifically for tonight's show, we embrace the truth comparison that Pastor expounds on between a woman and a man relationship, between Christ and the Father, the bride and the bridegroom, the virgin and a man, Israel and Yahweh, that comparison, that love, fondness, closeness, that intimate relationship between the two. So why would it be important? Why? For each of us listening, why would it be important to maximize your experience intimately with your husband? Why? So that you may understand the intimacy of Yah. So intimacy, when it's defined, is a close familiarity or a friendship or a closeness and a bond that's not necessarily sexual relationships only, not excluding sexual relationships, but it is including sexual relationships. But it's a fondness and a bond, okay? So intimacy is, as she spoke of, a direct being able to feel after your husband, being able to know what he may be thinking and needing, as well as assimilating to the Father and feeling after him. So as a husband in this ministry is perfected, or as a wife is perfected, the intimacy or closeness between the two is excelling, and it's allowing both individuals to truly reach maximum potential and be fulfilled by Yah. So if the wife is struggling assimilating to the man because of anything mental, anything spiritual, any issue that she has, can she be intimate with Yah? This is where I'm going to Jennifer. Pastor teaches us you can't bypass this relationship. You cannot bypass your husband to get to the Father. So this intimate and closeness that a woman desires to have with Yah, because we all, every woman that I know in this ministry, we have mouth profession that I want to be close to the Father. And every woman that is married that I know in this ministry has mouth profession that I want to be close to my husband. I want to learn to serve and submit to him. But here's the cutoff. The cutoff is, and this falls into, even if you're a single woman, okay? Even if you're a single woman, married or not, I got to ask you, Sister Jennifer, do we really desire closeness with other women, with another woman, with a sister? Do we desire that closeness?
You know, we should desire that closeness, but we don't always desire that closeness, and that's what hinders us as women. And there's no way that you can be intimate with Yah if you don't desire to really get to know your sisters and to be close with your sisters. It's just not possible. You know, the people of Yah actually have the spirit of Yah. You know, we have his spirit within us. So we should be drawn to one another when we experience the intimacy of Yah. We should be drawn to the spirit that we all have within us. You know, and his intimacy will fulfill you in such a way that will dismantle the typical things that will divide women, the envy, the jealousy, you know, anything that divides. If you really have the spirit of Yah in you and you're spending intimate time with him, then that will dismantle everything that divides. And all those things cannot be present when you experience true intimacy with the Father.
Very good. And Pastor teaches us about offense. You know, and we know woe is on us, because offense will come woman to woman, wife to husband, husband to wife, brother to brother. There's many, many offenses, and we know the masses of people are offended at the truth and at the word, obviously. But offenses woman to woman are very intricate, and you have to face that in this way. You have to face your relationship with the same gender. Can I say that? What are some of the things, Sister Jennifer, that you have to face when developing an intimate relationship with another woman that maybe you have never been close to another woman in your life?
I think one thing that we miss is yourself. One thing that you have to face is yourself. That is the main thing. You know, you learn pretty quickly that the thing that you hate or the thing that offends you in another sister is typically the same sin that you have operating in yourself. But you've given yourself a pass for so long, and you've tolerated the sin within you for so long in your own heart that you've gotten to the point of not seeing your own faults. So the main thing to overcome, I believe, first is your own hypocrisy.
So true. And let me mention the word compassion, because we need to have it one for another, compassion. Compassion is not just a sympathetic pity that you would have for another's shortcomings or their suffering. It's not just that. It's not the sympathetic understanding that you can relate to them. It's actually accompanied, here's compassion, it's accompanied with a strong desire to alleviate their suffering. So as a sister in this ministry, as a woman, you need that compassion that not only relates to the sufferings of your sister, but you need to have the desire to alleviate her from her suffering. Now, here's some more. Let's reflect just for a moment on what you have to face as a woman coming to the way, meeting the expectations and the requirements of the Father. Let's talk about a few of those things, Jennifer. Some women just simply have to face being a female in general. They have to face that they can't change who they are or who Yah made them, so they have to become comfortable being a woman. So you have to ask yourself, how is your idea of being a woman? To some, it can feel in this way, in the face, it can feel like a curse. Like you're weaker, you're stuck with this, you're stuck with that. You can hear all forms of accusations from the enemy of our soul that will suppress you and keep you down, weighted heavy with your sin. But what do you think about a group of women when you walk by them? You know, what do you think about a group of sisters when you walk by them? What's going on in your mind? Would you avoid those women or those sisters? And why? Why would you avoid them? Do you have a fear of being weak? A lot of sisters have been on their own, been taken advantage of, and had to portray strength. So to be weak to them is a huge turnoff. If I see a woman who exemplifies femininity, let's throw out Mother Carol, who is a very feminine woman. If I despise a feminine nature, a softer, meeker, quieter nature, she is not going to be the one I'm going to jail with. She's going to be my challenge in the flesh to love. But do you carry about yourself an intolerance for females? We have that. We have that in this ministry. You will carry an aura about yourself that you are intolerant of all other females. Or maybe you're angry that others are acting in a way that used to piss you off in the world. Like, I see this and that, sister. I ain't never liked it. You know, she should already know. Didn't she just hear the preaching? Pastor was just saying that. So these are some of the voices, but let's go back to compassion for a moment, Sister Jennifer. What comes to your mind? If I can't cry, and I'm not even saying cry. I'm not even saying we need to be running around emotional and shedding tears, but if someone needs my help as a woman, and it's a sister-to-sister relationship, if I can't cry with that woman or at least embrace her and have sympathy with her or compassion with her to alleviate her, we have the first part of compassion. We have a sympathetic pity to relieve her from her suffering. We have judgmentalism and criticism that she should know better and she got herself into this and all those negative things as well, and that does occur. But even when that occurs, compassion should always be there, always. What we don't have is the alleviation or the desire to alleviate her from her suffering. Would you agree? And what's your thoughts so far?
I would agree. You know, and it's interesting that you brought up compassion because we're told, and it's true over and over again, that, you know, sisters don't operate in the love that we should. We just don't. And, you know, compassion, you talked about having a strong desire to alleviate suffering. And compassion is tied directly to love because love requires action, and so does compassion. But you have to have the right heart. You know, you talked about can you cry with your sister? Can you cry for your sister? Well, anybody can cry, but what's the motive of my heart when I'm crying? You know, what am I really crying for? So we have to have the right motive, and we have to actually be willing to put our compassion into action, just like love. And, you know, some women are actually very nurturing. Sister Nellie, she's very nurturing. You know,
yeah.
She'll hug you, and you may be uncomfortable with that, you know, by her nurturing. If you are used to walking in rejection, you may not have been hugged when you were younger or coming up or whatever, but that may be uncomfortable to you. But it's just a nurturing, and so you can automatically want to reject that because of the rejection that you've walked in your own life for so long.
It's true, and things aren't always how you see it. So how you're seeing another woman or another sister, it might actually, as much as you may think that you got it figured out and you're right because you've seen it, you've been there, you've done it, and you know that woman already, things might not be how you actually see it. Because let me say that the, quote, negative that is taken in or expressed from us as a ministry, it's not negative at all, but because it's received as negative, I'm using that word. So the negativity that's expressed as a ministry about women or on our sister-to-sister show can actually harden the heart of a listener. Like, see, I know women. I'm telling you, yep, true, what she's saying, yep. But compassion is always there. Compassion is always there. It's about the heart. And if you're one way all the time, if you're one way, if you're negative all the time, if you're critical towards women, negative towards women, and all you see is the bad in them, the complaining about them, etc., then the problem's you. The problem's you, because I could overwhelm you with the beauty that I see in the women that I'm amongst. I could overwhelm you. But that's not the point of perfection, to glorify our flesh or ourselves or what we've done or how far we've come. It's to keep running. And so, as you mentioned earlier, nurturing, that's a very feminine characteristic. Sister Nellie is a good example of a feminine woman. So if you have a nurturing spirit, if you embrace the children around you, not just your own, or if you embrace the women around you in any way, even if it's just to listen or to speak, you are a strength to Israel. You're a strength to the body. But if you resent females for any reason, any way, it will lead you to isolation. Maybe because you actually want the spotlight. Maybe because you want more attention than a body or a group will give you, because it's not big I, big me here. I want to say too, Sister Jennifer, some of the things that we might have going on, we're actually going to take a turn in a moment. We're not going to stick with woman and woman relationships the whole show. We're not. But some of the things that we might have to deal with, as you said earlier, was hypocrisy or just craving approval, wanting another sister or another woman to be a certain way towards you, and having that desire to actually be pitied in your situation. you can have a vibe and an aura about you that would keep other women away from you. You just want someone to say, you're going through so much. I'm here for you. It's not about pity. It's compassion. What's on your mind?
Sister Ashley, you talked about constantly seeing the negative. And in my experience, you will constantly see the negative if you always look at the other woman when the word or when correction is going forward. So if there's correction going forward or the word is coming forward from the pulpit and you're not thinking of yourself, but you're thinking about the other woman, then your thoughts tend to go to the negative. Yep, that's her. That's her. You know, but if you look at yourself when the word is going forward, then you'll automatically want compassion. And so if we would just really take the time to have ourselves in mind when the word is going forward and not looking at the other sister, then we'll understand compassion. Because, of course, everybody wants compassion for themselves. And it'll teach you to actually have compassion on your sister as well, and that will bring the balance.
Very good. So let's introduce a hormone that is produced in your body, okay, just for understanding of what we want to share tonight. I want to speak about oxytocin. Oxytocin is a hormone released in your body. It's not what some of you may be familiar with, oxycodone, oxycontin, et cetera. There's a medical name for behind-the-counter drugs. I'm talking about oxytocin. That's a hormone inside of a woman, also in a man. But I want to talk about three aspects of this hormone on purpose. Remember, we're talking about intimacy. We're talking about having a fondness between two individuals. We're talking about having an intimate relationship with the Father. Don't ever forget that focus tonight. But the three main things that I want to bring up about oxytocin, don't let me lose you because I don't want to bore you about health, okay? I don't want to stay on it long, but there's three things that it does, okay? When a woman is pregnant, oxytocin is released from hypothalamus to pituitary. Hypothalamus actually says pituitary, you need to release hormone. No matter what the hormone is, hypothalamus says pituitary release. Okay? Pituitary releases oxytocin. And oxytocin goes into the uterus and it begins to contract so that she can deliver the baby. Okay? So if you're pregnant, you're going to have that hormone released during contractions and it's going to allow you to go into labor. So it's very important to have that release, and it's very important to have that communication. Now, the other thing that it does is it will cause the breast tissue to contract, okay? Hypothalamus says pituitary, release oxytocin. Oxytocin is released. Breast tissue says drop the milk for the baby because the baby's hungry. So another very, very important point for oxytocin. And the third point I wanted to bring up is actually a sexual relationship causes increased production of oxytocin. It's released from the brain, as I said, and it actually combines with other endorphins in your body to give you a painkiller and relax your muscles. So oxytocin is very important in sexual intimacy. So this release is actually, this is what occurs. If you have an oxytocin release during sexual intimacy, it will actually form a pairing bond between you and your husband, okay, which we know your partner is only one, and your partner is your husband for life or till death. Y'all forbid you had to move on for neglect and other issues, but your partner and you form a relationship based on your release of oxytocin. Now, why does this matter? Why does this matter? You can find information about every hormone and every chemical that you desire to find on any source, any video, any internet, book, download it, etc. But oxytocin interacts with appetite, okay? Your appetite actually is signaled by hormones. I'm hungry, hormone, I'm full. hormones, okay? What you actually eliminate from your body is a lot of the chemicals. It's not just when you go to the bathroom. What is coming out of your body is excess hormones and chemicals that are secreted all throughout your system all day. It's not just food in your stool. So this appetite signaling hormone is going to communicate to your brain, I'm full, and it needs to operate perfectly. Wouldn't you agree? It needs to say, I'm full. It needs to say, I need to go to the bathroom. I need, you know, we have all these hormones that have to be on par. So here's where we introduce sugar. Sugar was briefly mentioned last week, and Pastor even mentioned how he had removed the desserts and gave us all fruit, right? He just asked those who bring dessert, bring fruit this week, which was wonderful to those of us who love fruit, right? But let's talk about sugar for a minute, and we're going to make a direct connection between intimacy and sugar, okay, for a little while, so hang with me. But daily and chronic sugar intake. Daily and chronic sugar intake reduces the amount of oxytocin that your brain even makes in response to food, okay? So it's going to reduce your oxytocin. So if you're here and your oxytocin is elevated when you eat and it's doing its proper function, sugar is going to suppress that. And you're not going to have that communication. You're not going to have the signal that says, I'm full. So like a visual analogy, and I'll go to you, Jennifer. So like a visual analogy that we can think of is like a symphony orchestra, okay? Your hormones are a symphony orchestra. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And inside of you, they are all moving to the tune of your body, your energy, and all the production of chemicals and hormones that you have. So if sugar is thrown into the eyes of a musician, it's going to distract his focus. And it's the same thing if daily and chronic sugar is thrown into or consumed on a large scale. If it's thrown into your body, it is literally going to make your hormones and the chemicals in your body so altered that they're no longer going to make the same sweet melody or sound of music. That analogy help you? But Jennifer, is this boring? Because as I said earlier, what I had in my heart to share with y'all tonight, which I haven't made the main points yet, but I thought to myself, you can, you know, find anything out there. So why would I need to go the direction of sugar? You know, why bring it up for the saints of the Most High Yah? When we can go and dig and research and do our own diligence if we desired, we can make changes. So the intention is to bring it in a different way to make an impact that would hopefully convict your very soul to make changes that would impact you for life, okay? So that's the intention, is to go a different way than anything that you may hear outside of this ministry. So, Jennifer, do we care about this information? Should we be prospering in health even as we age? What should it be like?
Yes, ma'am. We should be prospering in health as we age, and we do care about this information. We should care about this information, and this is information that has been talked about since, you know, I've been in the ministry, actually. This information has been shared for so long, and it's not changed at all. And what I believe is that, you know, it needs to be talked about continually because the people are not hearing. We're just not hearing. We should be prospering in health, you know, not having the diseases of our captors on us. You know, Yahweh said, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. He said, I'm Yahweh that healeth thee. But if we're putting these chemicals in our body that are causing our bodies to not prosper, and then we go and we blame Yah because we have curses on us, it's just complete and total backwards thinking. You know, our souls should be prospering with our physical bodies as well. So our souls and our physical body, you know, our whole nefesh should be prospering. But unfortunately, we're still talking about sugar, you know, the chemical of sugar and what it does to the body.
Very good. So let's bring in a story, a hypothetical story. We're going to name our character Betty, okay? Let's talk about Betty for a moment. And hopefully some of you may be able to relate with Betty and make proper adjustments or changes according to your convictions. But remember, oxytocin that we spoke of earlier is a natural painkiller, okay? So set oxytocin aside and go, if I consume sugar, the brain releases two chemicals, dopamine and serotonin. These two chemicals also give me a feeling. What do they do? Let's go to Betty, okay? Betty releases oxytocin, just like us, okay? All the natural chemicals and hormones she's supposed to, and she operates on a natural level daily, okay? So we're going to call the level that she operates on zero. She operates on zero. So she's zero daily, which is perfect, and now she consumes sugar, okay? So what happens is the brain releases dopamine and the brain releases serotonin hormones that stimulate Betty's brain, and they make her automatically feel rewarded. That's a feeling immediately in the body. So she feels rewarded as if something good has happened to her or been done to her. She feels great about life, a reward. So she moves from zero to number one when she's at this feeling, okay? And to come back down to zero doesn't feel as good anymore. So it doesn't take long. It could be weeks, could be months, years, that she's going to move up a notch. She's going to consume more because in order to feel better or get that same reward, she's got to go from zero, one, two, three, okay? Now, some of you might, man, one gives me a sugar buzz, a sugar high, and some of you might need all the way up. So it doesn't take long before she eats more and more, and she releases more and more hormones, and she's saying to herself, good job, and I feel good, and I'm rewarded, and I can start my day like this, okay? She moves from 2 to 3 to 4 to 5, and she increases regular amounts of sugar to help her function as good as she did on zero. She now has to function 2, 3, 4, and 5. She has to function under this feeling and illusion of being rewarded, okay? Because to not have the sugar is to not release the hormones that I'm actually addicted to. It's the hormone that makes me go back to the sugar they call drugs. So this is an open door for negative thinking and negative function, because if she hits 5 on a reward scale, who wants to go back to zero and function? But here's the kick in all this. I'll go to you, Jennifer. In all this escalation up the scale and all this release of dopamine and serotonin on a daily basis, what has happened to her relationships?
With her relationships, you know, because of the instability in the mind and in the body and in the hormone levels, her relationships are actually being destroyed. You know, she's developed an inordinate affection with the chemical sugar, and that has taken the place of the actual affection that a woman should have for the father, or, you know, that she should have for her husband. If a man can't bring her the same euphoric feeling that sugar brings, and she automatically thinks that something is wrong with him or that she's rejected, you know, whatever excuse it might be, but it causes accusations when really it's her fault because of her dependence on a chemical.
Okay, so great answer. If Betty needs sugar to feel good, if she needs to have this chemical reaction in her body that says, I feel good, what can y'all do for Betty? What can man do, as you mentioned, to get her back to zero again, which is normal? What can a healing herb do? What can a physician do? If they don't function like a drug. Y'all doesn't function in a in rebellion. He's not going to heal if you don't change your circumstance, or he's not going to reach out past the will that won't turn from the thing that is killing you. But because she battles withdrawals, she battles withdrawals without it. When sugar wears off, back to normal feels like shit. And now she gets to select her mood. She gets to select when she wants her drugs, how much she wants. She gets to hide it. She gets to secretly buy it. She gets to openly buy it in every aisle, in every convenience store. But now she's cranky. Now she's hostile. Now she's tired, and she don't understand why. Now she thinks everything's a spirit. And she doesn't hunger and thirst for righteousness. She's now, as you use the word, chemically dependent. So, question. Jennifer, tell us, what is chemical dependency?
Chemical dependency, Ashley, is, you know, it's the body's addiction to a mind-altering substance. So it's a substance or a chemical that is altering the mind. And it really starts with, or it stems from, you know, gradual use, but it increases. It'll gradually increase because of the body's tolerance to that chemical or its ability to actually assimilate to that chemical. So increased doses, you know, you have to be consumed to maintain the desired effects that you expect from that particular chemical. So it's the body's addiction to a mind-altering substance.
It's very good explanation, because that mind-altering substance actually addicts you to the mood that it makes you feel. And that's an important part of understanding your chemical dependency, sisters. You are addicted to feeling the way that it makes you feel. So now the most impactful, life-affecting thing has happened to you. You formed, you know, as Pastor says, you formed a third-party agreement with the government when you bring other things into your marriage and into your life. You've now formed a relationship with sugar. You formed a partnership with sugar because it dictates so much of your mind that you rely on it. You rely on it to function, and you depend on it. And when you depend on it, because you're a woman and you're weaker, as Pastor always teaches us, you don't know how to love a man already. Okay? And so you don't know how to love your husband. Now you're so chemically malfunctioned. That's exactly what he's saying when he says we've been so GMO modified, we've been so, and he goes down the list. It's so true. If you just knew what actually happened inside of you, remember the orchestra. So you don't know how to be intimate. You don't know how to even function sexually with your husband or intimately in your relationships, because you now have a relationship with sugar. It feels good. So you feel like you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. So now these feelings and this communication and these emotions that are actually driving you as a woman that you never would have blamed sugar for, that's sending you on this emotional roller coaster, has the power to now affect even your own husband because of your mood. So what you actually consume as a woman is now regurgitated to others around you that have to endure your hostility or endure your emotional fluctuations and changes. So, Jennifer, if we've confused anyone, I always like to say that, because just because I'm speaking and I may understand what we're trying to say, it doesn't mean anyone out there may be following. If we've confused anyone that's listening on how to actually determine if sugar is my relationship and it's affecting me in any way, bring Yah into it for me. Because if Yah doesn't do it for you, or if Yah doesn't do for you what sugar is doing for you, can you help me understand what we're saying?
Yes, ma'am. You know, you will know if you are dependent on something. We're talking about sugar tonight. You will know if you're dependent on it or if it's a problem. by a simple test. You know, stop using it. Stop using it and take note of how your body reacts. What are your thoughts? How does your physical body feel? What's your demeanor like towards others? You know, by the third day, you'll soon find out if sugar has replaced what you should be looking for Yah to provide in your life. You know, comfort, joy, rest, strength, energy, whatever it may be. Yah is the only one that can fulfill those things. And when you stop using the sugar or whatever chemical hinders you, are you finding that your comfort and your joy and your rest is gone because of that dependency on that chemical? And I wanted to make another point too. You know, Pastor talks about the fragmentation of the soul with women, and I know this is going a different direction, but I just want to put this out there. You know, he talks a lot about women whose souls are fragmented because of past sexual partners, you know, carrying around all this different DNA within you because of past sexual sin. Couple that with the effects of the chemical of sugar, and so you have problem upon problem upon problem, and it's just so compounded. And there's no way that you can get to the real you. So we really have to rid ourselves of all this sin, and we have to rid ourselves and purge ourselves of depending on anything that is not of Yah.
Very good. And even in discussing the effects of sugar or any problem that we may have that's causing intimate issues, it's not about cold turkey forever. That's not what I'm saying. You have to love yourself enough to say, I'm the temple of the Most High Yah. And almost 100% of us understand what it's like to go too far in our diet or to feed our flesh too much. But He's worthy of fasting. He's worthy of us setting ourselves apart from the things that drive us, because there are chemicals and hormones released with every single emotion that you feel every single day. That's why stress kills, because when you stay heightened and stay stressed, you are continually releasing more and more and more endorphins and chemicals into your bloodstream, truly taxing your system. So we have, as women, more emotions to sort through because we're weaker, which means we have more chemical alterations or chemical secretions into our bodies than a man does. So we have to focus on health, and it's not about doing the same thing. You need to be doing what I'm doing or her. You know, it's about doing what the Father desires you to do in His temple. And I wanted to share with y'all. We don't have much more. I saw Sister Candace from California in the caller queue. I will answer your call when we're done. We don't have much more to share tonight. But there was a woman's testimony that I wanted to share with y'all. She was a Christian woman, a godly woman. And she could not figure out what had happened to her body or her health. She could not figure out what had happened to her weight. And she sought the Father for it because she had tried so many things. So one night, in the midst of months and months of praying, she had a dream. And she was in an all-white, like, to hear her is much better than hearing me, because it was impactful, because she's the one that experienced it. But she's in an all-white room and beautiful, flawless bed, walls, window, beautiful. So she describes the detail and the perfection of the room. And she looks out the window into the most beautiful garden and yard that she had ever seen. And she saw a beautiful white horse, white mane, white everything. And she had never seen an animal so beautiful in all her life. And she saw a black, grotesque, ugly, demon sitting on top of this horse. And it walked real slow and proud. And she was disgusted at this horrible thing in this beautiful dream. And it walks to her window. And she begins to pet the horse and rub its mane, its hair. And she hears her testimony, the Lord say to her, "Gluttony rides on a white horse named Sugar." And she woke up and she got rid of all her sugar. And she did go cold turkey, which is, as I said earlier, not what I'm even asking of you or what the ministry is asking of you. But for her, that was her answer to her health condition and her problem. She got it out of her house completely. And was healed completely. What do you think about that story, Sister Jennifer? I've never shared it with you.
You know, it really is very sobering, and it really calls us to truly repent. But, you know, even in our repentance, we have to remember that Yah hates a false balance. And so, you know, what worked for this woman was cold turkey. So like Sister Ashley said, you have to figure out, you have to get with the Father and figure out what works for you. But you have to truly repent. You can't just say the words. You have to actually walk in repentance, and you have to put it into action.
Very good. And only He would know how much this substance, how much you've abused it, how much you've consumed it, how much it actually affects you and your body. He would know those intimate details about you. And just connecting with Him for your health's sake would benefit your soul. I wanted to just thank Pastor again and again and again for all his time, all the labor and all the word that he's ever given us. All of us are a reflection or a seal of his pastorship. And even on Shabbat, he was saying, you know, you ain't ready to be clean. And he said, what does someone here have to go through to warn the wicked, which is you, because he was speaking of Ezekiel, warning the wicked. What does someone have to go through to actually get to you and reach you? Have you ever thought about that? Like, if someone's coming to correct Ashley, what kind of barriers and walls and things do they have to get through, fighting even their own fears to try to help me and correct me? And that's a consideration that we should all have in our hearts, that it's not easy to speak to you. It's not easy for the truth to be delivered to you. But relentlessly, Pastor continues to warn, as he always will. But remember, he says you ain't ready to be clean. And even on this community, your eating habits are known. You know, your weight gain, your weight loss, your fasting is known. Not because we're meticulously watching each other, but because we know those who labor amongst us. And some of you couldn't handle that. You could not handle that. You know, you love being dirty, as he said on Shabbat. You love being dirty. You love doing what you're doing. And he reminded us that do you condemn the world and their sin, or are you just as filthy as they are? Because the dietary laws and removing the unclean foods, is that enough? Does that really set you apart? Do we really eat and consume differently? Is Yah truly our hunger and our thirst? Really? Ask yourself that. Would Yah say that about you? You hunger and thirst after Him more than your daily bread? Good question, right? So the secrets of your heart are revealed, Pastor says, even here. And he mentioned holy hypocrisy. And even Sister Jennifer mentioned the word hypocrisy in dealing with woman-to-woman relationships. But I guess I could end with a scripture. Forgive me. I don't want to end. I want to go to a phone call, okay? Let me go to this one phone call. Sister Candace in California, area code 619. You are live on Sister to Sister. Bless you.
Yeah. Bless you, sisters. And again, you're dealing with a subject that I definitely need deliverance from. And I'm grateful unto you, Sister Jennifer and Sister Ashley, for the, you know, Yahweh putting it on your heart to deal with this subject, because unbeknownst to me, we go day by day not really realizing the really strong effects that it has. And listening to this broadcast helped me to understand some of the areas in my heart and in my life where I'm really, really lacking. I mean, even with my husband, not really realizing that my behaviors and attitudes are reflected by what I'm allowing to put in my body. So I'm grateful for this broadcast. I'm grateful for the teachings of Pastor Dally and Mother Carol. And just, I'm grateful. I'm thankful because it's dealing with my soul. And it's causing me to want to make changes that I can be a better loving wife and a loving mother to my family. And just change me all the way so I can be ready to enter into His kingdom. So once again, another subject, sisters, that I'm so thankful to listen to and take in. And I'm asking the Most High to really grant me a true heart of repentance so that I can really repent and turn from these things that keep me in a bound situation and unfruitful. So I thank you. Thank you, sisters. And that's it. I just want to tell you thank you. Thank you, Father, for these sisters. And I'm grateful for the teachings that I'm receiving. Bless you.
Bless you. Hallelujah. It's always encouraging to hear from you. Shalom, Sister Candace in California. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As I've already said, it's an honor to sit in Pastor's seat and host tonight, so didn't intend on keeping everyone's ears for long. My husband had even said yesterday, he was talking about this perverted society and how it glorifies seduction, and it glorifies anything that is against Yah. So this society is going to mock virgins, and it's going to teach a woman that a man can touch her. A man can fondle your breast and play with your breast, but it's an abomination for your child to drink from your breast. What a perverse, abominable perspective. You're right, Deacon Bell. You're right. Anybody can touch your body. You can show your body, but don't give your body to a baby. Don't do that. Give them something else. And we even did, it was a year ago, Sister Jennifer had done research on what's actually in formula. And number one, two, and three ingredients in most of them, sugar. But we're too selfish. We're too selfish to understand that or to care. So Pastor today had said in his video titled Justice, I wrote it down. So he did a video titled Justice today, and he said, the more I become obedient to Him, speaking of the Father, the more I become obedient to Him, the more I love Him, the more I speak His words, the greater the hatred is for man towards me. He said, Jesus said, you shall be hated for my name's sake. He says, I have, and I still am experiencing that hatred. And he said, I hope that you have the intestinal fortitude and the strength and the stomach to be able to live for Him when He's calling you higher. And so I wanted to share this scripture, Sister Jennifer, and I'll let you in the show. Isaiah 29 speaks of the nations that fight against Israelites and those that oppress her and distress her. And Isaiah likens it to a man. He's a hungry man, okay? Likens it to a hungry man that when he dreams, he consumes and he eats in his sleep, in his dream. But when he wakes up, his soul is still empty. And it also says that it's like a thirsty man that dreams. And when he dreams, he drinks and he's fulfilled. But when he wakes up, he's weary and he's faint and his soul still has an appetite. And Isaiah says that is the emptiness of the multitude and the nations that fight against Mount Zion. So be encouraged. We're on the right path. I thank you for giving us your ear tonight, and I hope, as I always hope, that you've heard something that will change your mind, convict your soul. Hallelujah. I am Sister Ashley, and I'm leaving the ending of the show with Sister Jennifer. Go ahead, my sister, end the show.
And Yahweh shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding.